kids up front here, because today's sermon is for them. So kids, if you're there and you would like to come up and just hang out on the steps for a few minutes, and then I'll let you go back to your seat, but if you want to come on down, come on down, all right? Why don't you come on down, we'll kind of hang out over in this area. Or maybe we'll hang out all over the place. Or some can even sit here if they want, wherever you like. Here's some of you can sit here on the bench, too, if you like. All right? Right on. Today's message is for you. It is all for you. All right? I'm going to read you a story, and some of you guys might have heard this story before. And it is a story called Sarah Cynthia Sylvia Stout, Who Would Not Take the Garbage Out. Have you guys heard that one before? Okay, it's a Shel Silverstein story, so if you know Shel Silverstein, well, it goes like this. Sarah Cynthia Sylvia Stout would not take the garbage out. She'd scour the pots and scrape the pans, candy the yams and spice the hams, and though her daddy would scream and shout, she simply would not take the garbage out. How many of you have jobs around the house? Yeah? What are some of your jobs? Quickly. What's one of your jobs, Scott? We'll come back to you. Brady. Okay, go collect the eggs. There you go. Yep. Clean the table off. Feed the dog. Wash the dishes. Anybody have to take the garbage out like Cynthia? Okay, good. So we got some garbage taker outers. And so she simply would not take the garbage out. And so it piled up to the ceilings. Coffee grounds, potato peelings, brown bananas, rotten peas, chunks of sour cottage cheese. It filled the can, it covered the floor, it cracked the window, it blocked the door with bacon rinds and chicken bones, drippy ends of ice cream cones, prune pits and peach pits and orange peel, gloppy glumps of cold oatmeal. Pizza crusts and withered greens, soggy beans and tangerines, crusts of black burned buttered toast, grisly bits of beefy roast. Sound pretty good? And Riley's like, yeah, I'm hungry. The garbage rolled on down the hall. It raised the roof. It broke the wall. Greasy napkins, cookie crumbs, globs of gooey bubble gum, cellophane from green bologna, rubbery, blubbery macaroni, peanut butter caked and dry, curdled milk and crusts of pie, moldy melons, dried up mustard, eggshells mixed with lemon custard. Cold French fried and rancid meat, yellow lumps of cream of wheat. Now, I happen to like lumps in my cream of wheat. I don't know about you. Oh, okay. At last, the garbage reached so high, it finally touched the sky, and all the neighbors moved away, and none of her friends would come to play. And finally, Sarah Cynthia Stout said, okay, I'll take the garbage out. But then, of course, it was too late. The garbage reached across the state, from New York to the Golden Gate, and there in the garbage she did hate. Poor Sarah met an awful fate that I cannot now relate because the hour's much too late. But children, remember Sarah Stout and always take the garbage out. Now, we might, you know, amend that last line and we could say something like, but children, remember God and His Word. Don't not do. That would be absurd. Okay? So, what do we learn from this? Well, what we're talking about today was obedience. All about obedience. And in this case, Sarah Cynthia Stout, she did not obey, did she? And she had some consequences for not obeying. And we don't even know what some of those are. We just know that it was too late and she met with an awful fate. And it was so awful and they can't even relate it. So something bad happened to her. Well, we're going to turn in our Bibles, and parents and friends and everybody else that's here, you can turn in your Bibles to Colossians 3:18. Of course, we've been teaching through the book of Colossians here, and we've gotten to this section 18 to 21, which specifically deals with the family relationships. So today, and for you young people, we're going to look at two places in Scripture that deal with children obeying their parents. This first one in Colossians 3, And then we're going to look at Ephesians 6, 1-3. So you might put a bookmark in Colossians 3 and a bookmark in Ephesians 6, verse 1. We're going to flip-flop a little bit. So I thought I'd get some volunteers here. Who would like to do some reading for me? All right. Why don't you take this one, and why don't you take this one? Now, hold on here. Where are we going to put that microphone? We'll get the microphone here. We're going to let you guys read the scripture this morning, okay? Let's see. Who's got the Colossians one? Did I give that to you, Audrey? No, you got Ephesians. Okay. Here you go. Take the microphone. You're going to stand up, and you're going to read it nice. Okay? Put the microphone up to your mouth. There you go.
Colossians 3:20. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord.
Excellent. Thank you. And you want to go ahead and stand up and read that? There you go.
Ephesians 6, 1-3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is the right to honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. 3, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth.
Excellent. Thank you very much, gang. I appreciate that. You're going to get to stay up here for just a couple more minutes, okay? And then we'll let you sit back down. I'm going to have a few more questions for you. So today's message is directed at you guys. And for all you young kids out, or you old kids out there, I should say, that aren't sitting up here, this is for you too. So our older youth as well, this is for you also. And why? Why is this for you? Because Paul is addressing who? Who's Paul talking to here, gang? Huh? What did you just read there, Riley? Who does he address? Children. Thank you, Lily. Children. And he does it again here. Children. He is addressing you folks. Now, does that sermon mean that it is, or does that mean that the sermon's not for the rest of you? No, say it ain't so, Jay. Well, it ain't so. It's for you too. Okay? Because maybe, like I said, you're a youth that's out there, or if you're a mom or a dad, it's good for you to hear this too, so you can know what God's Word says to your kids, or maybe you have grandkids that you can have some kind of bearing on and show them what God's Word says. And today, gang, you're going to see two commands. What's a command? Somebody raise your hand. Tell me what a command is. Yep. Exactly right. Something you have to do. You don't have a choice, okay? When you are commanded to do something, especially by God, you have to do it. And here we see two commands, and then God gives us also three reasons with these commands. And what's amazing about this is that God gives you reasons at all. It should be enough just that God gives us a command, right? If God gives us a command, boom, we do what? We obey it. We do it. Exactly. But God is good to us here in that He actually gives us three reasons for doing it. And because, you know, I think part of the reason is He knows that oftentimes kids don't want to do what He has told them. And so that is why He has given us these reasons. And it's not like Lucy's reasons from A Charlie Brown Christmas. You guys remember that? She tells Linus to do something, and Linus says that no, he's not going to do that. And she says, okay, I'm going to give you 5 good reasons why you should do that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And what's Linus say? Those are good reasons. Exactly. But luckily, God doesn't do it like that for us, okay? His reasons are certainly the best kind of reasons. And really, in our text here, you're going to learn that His reasons are blessings. You guys like blessings? Sure we do. We like to be blessed, don't we? All right, thanks, you guys. You can go ahead and sit down with your families. Thank you so much for coming up and helping me out here. I appreciate that. Let's go ahead and just kind of switch. But, hey, you got to still pay attention because the rest of this sermon is for you, okay? So you don't get to go off and fall asleep. Today, there's no doodling. There's no, you know, drawing in your bulletin and making funny faces. You need to listen because this is for you. All right. So what do you think the first command is? Oh, boy, let's just guess. Any one of our youth want to guess? What's our first command? Oh, that's another set of commands. That's a whole other sermon, okay? From what we just read, yeah? Obey. Exactly right. Children, you always need to obey your parents. And I'm using children here, and you'll hear me say youth, or you'll hear me say young people, or different things. And we'll define that in just a sec. But the reasons are these. When we look at Colossians and Ephesians about obeying, in Ephesians it says, when you obey your parents, God says it's the right thing to do. So that's one of the reasons. And another reason is when you obey your parents, it's well-pleasing to the Lord. It pleases God when you obey. Now, the second command is this, and we saw it in Ephesians 6, honor your father and mother. And this command has one reason, although the other two reasons we could say certainly do apply. But when you honor your parents, God gives you two great promises, that things will go well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Now, we're going to go back to the first one, okay, which says, children, obey your parents. And we could say, always obey your parents. Now, before we really get going, we want to define what is meant here by the word children. The Greek word for children is, guess what? Children. That's right. Offspring, sons, daughters. There's no age specified. But what's interesting is that Paul is specifically addressing children, meaning they were in the service with their parents. And this is a letter, but the letter would be to be read, both Colossians and Ephesians, to the church, which means what? If he's talking to kids, it means that they were there at the church hearing the word of God. It would be expected that they heard the word. Now, whether that means in here, you're in the service like you are today, or even if you're in children's church, you're hearing the word of God. Now, we would say certainly that Paul has in mind here a family unit, prior to a son or daughter leaving and cleaving in marriage. And once that happens, they're no longer under the authority of their parents. But the daughter's under the authority of her husband, and both husband and wife are still under the authority of God. So for today's purposes, children will define, or youth, as any child or youth or person that is still living under their parents' roof. So if that's you and you're 40 years old, then man, you better be listening up. You're living with mom and dad, okay? All right, we got that clear. Now, parents, you might be thinking, you know, but what about when that child turns 18? Well, where's the responsibility then? Well, legally speaking, parents or guardians are responsible for their children up to the age of 18, and they can then leave the house and hopefully be obedient to God. But what about the child that is living with the parents or grandparents or whoever your guardian figure is, be it a legal adult or whatnot? But they are a legal adult. They are 18. Well, I would suggest to you, parents, that as long as they are under your roof, they are to obey your rules. And if you ever hear something like, well, I'm 18, you can't tell me what to do, you go, you're right, hon. You're right, son. And there's the door. You go make your way in the world. Okay? My house, my rules. And if your child does not want to obey your rules, then it could be that it's time they got a good dose of reality. A little tough love, if need be. In any case, youth, we will see in a bit that you are also to always be honoring your parents, not just while you are under their roof, but always. So if you are out of the house, you may have to not have to obey certain rules anymore, but you still need to treat your parents in an honorable way. And we'll have a little more on that later. Now, for the command, this first one, obey your parents. We see that in Ephesians. Or be obedient in Colossians. This means always and ongoing. Okay, it's kind of part of the grammar of the word. It doesn't mean that you get just to do it once and you go, okay, I've been obedient. I took out the trash. Great, now I'm done. I don't have to obey anymore today. No. You always have to obey and continue to obey, certainly as long as you are under your parents' roof, living in their house. Now look at this next phrase in Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents. And there's this little phrase there, in the Lord. Well, it seems the best way to understand this phrase is this is part of a reason for obedience. Matthew Henry said, children, obey your parents, for the Lord has commanded it. Obey them, therefore, for the Lord's sake and with an eye to Him. In other words, according to the Lord, because the Lord has told you to do it. And as we see in Colossians, it is pleasing to God. This is obeying them in the Lord. Now, what does it mean to obey your parents, kids, youth, children, young adults? I mean, if you are going to obey your parents, what do you have to do? What do you think you have to do first? Any ideas? You got an idea, Brady? Go ahead. Do what they tell you. Now, if you're going to do what they tell you, that means you have to be doing something first. What is it you must be doing first? Jerry knows. What? Before you can obey, in order to... Yeah, go ahead, Brady. Listen! Bingo! We have to be listening. So first and foremost, kids, youth, you need to listen. You need to listen for your parents' voice. You need to hear your parents' voice. None of this, oh, I didn't hear you. No, 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 no. None of that. None of that. You listen for your parents' voice. Now, we could say that obedience falls under three categories. And this is what we've done in our house, and it's a neat way to look at obedience. Children, you need to obey in three ways. You need to obey right away. We'll talk about that in a sec. All the way. And you need to obey with a joyful heart. You can't do it begrudgingly. So right away, what does that mean? We call this first-time obedience, meaning your parents should only ask you to do something how many times? Just shout it out. Once. That's right. Once. Parents, this also means that you have to teach them this. You have to teach them that, no, you are not going to count. Think about it. What happens if you say, okay, I need you to clean up your room, and they don't do it? And you go, I'm going to count to three, and then you better do it by the time I get to three. One, two, and usually somewhere in there they skedaddle, right? But what have you taught your kids? You have taught your kids that they do not have to obey you until you get to three. That's what you've taught them. You have not taught them to obey the first time. Children, you need to obey the first time your parents ask you or tell you to obey. And parents, there needs to be consequences, right? That's the way you teach that. If it's not first-time obedience, then there's a consequence, and you figure out what's appropriate, and you do the consequence. It won't be long. It won't be long before they are doing it the first time. Now, what about when you're watching TV, kids, or maybe you're playing a game, you know, and your mom or dad asks you to do something, but you're right in the middle of it, you know, and maybe you're doing something even more important, like you're doing your homework. What about then? You stop whatever you're doing, and you obey them right away. You don't say, well, just let me finish this game. I'm almost done here. Just let me wait till a commercial. No, no, no. Let me just finish my page of homework. No. No, you obey the first time. And you do it immediately, right away. Not when you're ready to do it, not 5 minutes, not 10 minutes from then. Not waiting until you want to do it. The Bible doesn't allow here for any lag time, kids. Sometimes kids, they give us lip service, meaning you tell us yes. You might say, okay, yes, but you're busy doing something else and you don't start obeying right away. If you're not obeying right away, kids, guess what? You're in sin. You're sinning against your parents, and you're sinning against God. That is not a good thing. How about all the way? You're to obey right away. You're also to obey all the way. This means completely obey. To completion. If you're told to clean your room, it doesn't mean that you go down there and you put away one thing, and then you go, I'm done. No, 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 no. You are to completely clean your room. You are to finish the task to completion. Any task you're told to do, you must finish. Whether you're told to rake leaves or take out the garbage or do your homework, etc., whatever it is. And if you're not obeying all the way, guess what? You're sinning. You're sinning against mom and dad, and you're sinning against God. Now, what about this joyful heart? This means that when you obey, you are to do it joyfully. The Scriptures teach us in Philippians 2:14, do all things without grumbling or complaining. You are never to grumble or complain when your mom or dad tells you to do something. You're not supposed to go, oh, man, fine. That is not what the joy. You're not supposed to go, no. You're not supposed to, I'm going to teach them something. I'm going to have some something. Mumbling under your breath. You're not supposed to do this. Roll your eyes at them. You're not supposed to sigh out. You're not supposed to stomp or throw a fit. Fine. You're not supposed to yell. You're not supposed to... None of that stuff. Because all of that stuff means that you are not doing it with a joyful heart. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. This means when you are asked to do something, you are not to tell them no or why or I don't want to. You're not to whine, moan, cry. You're not to roll your eyes or cross your arms or exhale loudly or stomp off. You're not to defy your parents in any way. Now, how can you respond to your parents so that they know you're going to obey right away, all the way, and with a joyful heart? Because, you know, they need to know. And I would say that one way you could do this is when you're asked to do something, you should always respond to your mom and dad. So that way, they know you heard them, and you've heard them, and you're telling them, I've heard you. So if they say, I would like for you to go and take out the garbage, you say, yes, Mom. Yes, Dad. So you have to verbally respond to them. That way, there's no mix-up. You can't come back later on and go, oh, I didn't hear you. Yeah. Now, what if you have a question about carrying out a certain task, kids? Well, you don't not do it because you had a question about it, okay? Only if your parents agree can you possibly ask them a question prior to doing what they've told you. For instance, if your parents ask you to clean the bathroom and you're thinking, well, okay, I don't know if that includes the toilet and the sink or the floor because they just said bathroom, you know, maybe it's just the bathtub I have to do. Well, in that case, you could say, Mom, what did you mean? What does that include? In our house, after we've given an assignment, we allow our kids to say, Mom, Dad, can I ask you a question? And then it's our choice to say, no, no questions right now. You just need to do it. Or we can say, okay, yes, you can ask me a question. And then they ask you and get clarification, because sometimes they do. Then maybe they do need clarification about something. But that's, again, your parents' prerogative if they want to allow you to ask a question first. Youth, have you ever thought, well, you know, come on. I mean, there are some things that I shouldn't have to be obedient in. I mean, come on. You know, some things are just pointless. And certainly my parents wouldn't expect me to obey if something, you know, is just pointless or for no reason. Like, for instance, you know, I mean, why should I have to make my bed? I mean, what's the point? I'm just going to get it all messy again tonight, you know? Or what's the big deal about eating all of my vegetables? I'm sure it'll be fine if I eat half. Or why can't I watch what I want on TV? I can make the right decisions for myself. Or maybe for the older ones, why would my mom or dad forbid me to hang out with certain friends? Or why should I have to obey a curfew? I mean, what do they really know about what's best for me? I can make those decisions. And you can probably think of many other situations where you would say, I should be able to make my own decisions without my parents always telling me what to. But here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in Colossians, children, be obedient to your parents in some things. The things that you think you should be obedient in? No. All things. All things. Regardless of what you think about it. Now, is there ever a time when you do not have to be obedient to your parents? Kids, think about that. Anyone want to try and answer that one? Okay. Yeah, the only time you do not have to obey your parents is if one of your parents is asking you to sin, to do something that goes against God and His Word. You know, if they, you know, try to get you to rob a bank or something like that, you would have to say, no, Mom and Dad, I can't do that because the Bible says stealing's wrong. Okay, but that's it. That's it. Now, you might be thinking, what if my parents are, you know, they're wrong? I just know they are. I know they're wrong, right? You know, I just completely disagree with them. Or maybe you think your parents are being too strict, or they're being too heavy-handed. What if all your other friends' parents are so much easier going and they don't demand nearly as much obedience? What then? Do you still have to obey? Children, Obey your parents in all things. Be obedient to your parents in all things. Yes, you still have to obey your parents. Done. End of discussion. That's it. You absolutely do. Imagine for a minute that there's a movie playing. And all your friends have been talking about this movie and, you know, they want to go see it. And you're thinking to yourself, well, hey, you know, there's nothing wrong with this. There's absolutely no reason why I shouldn't be able to see this movie. So you ask your mom or dad if you can go to this movie with your friends and they tell you, no. Now what do you do? How do you react? Do you immediately get on the defensive and why not? I mean, what's the big deal? Is that being obedient? No. Right away, all the way, joyful heart. In our house, it might go something like this. If I said to my son, no, you cannot go to the movie with your friends, my son would probably say, Dad, can I ask you a question? I would say, sure, son. Why can't I go to the movie? Well, son, I've done some checking, and though this movie, you know, seems like it might be aimed at, you know, young people, and I know all your friends are going, but there's things in it that I think are inappropriate for you and that aren't God-glorifying. And folks, parents, grandparents, you can go to all kinds of Christian websites to read up on movies and to know what's in movies. Plugged In, I think, is the name of the one that is really thorough with what's in movies and things. So, you know, you can know. Then if I want to, I might use this time with my son as just kind of a teaching moment. And we might talk more in-depthly about those things that I know that are in the movie and why I'm not allowing him to go to the movie. But at that point, there can be nothing but obedience. Youth, when your parents give you a final answer, it's like the millionaire show. Who wants to be a millionaire? There's no going back. Once you say, you know, final answer, it's a done deal. Once your parents give you that final answer, it's over. It's over. You are not to try and stand there and wear your parents down by continually questioning them about their decision or badgering them about a decision. That's disobedience. That's disobedience of parents. You've got to be ready to appropriately discipline if that happens. So are there any examples of you know, obedience or even disobedience in the Bible that we can look to for a little bit of help here? Absolutely. There are plenty of examples. Let's look at a couple of scriptures that talk about disobeying. Kids, listen close to these passages because this is some serious stuff here. In Exodus chapter 21, verse 15, in the law, it was written, he who strikes his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. If you hit your father or mother, you would be put to death. That is serious. It also says in verse 17, he who curses his father or mother, meaning you curse at them with your voice, shall surely be put to bed without any supper, shall surely be put to death. God meant business. He was very serious about kids obeying their parents. How about Deuteronomy 21:18-21? If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of the city, to the gate of the city, and they shall say to the elders of this city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all of the men of his city shall, you ready for this? Stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. In other words, being disobedient to your parents is evil. It's evil. Being rebellious towards your parents is evil. In this case, the punishment was so strict so that Israel should hear and fear, so that other people in the nation would see what was going on and go, oh my word, God means business. We need to obey. Now here's a gnarly one for you youngsters. Proverbs 30:17 says, the eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it. So imagine a, you know, raven there ripping out your eyeball and then feeding it to the eagles and they get to eat it. Yeah, that's what it is. And Paul points out in Romans 1:30 and verse 32 that those who are disobedient to parents are worthy of death. that if you are constantly disobedient to your parents and you don't know Jesus Christ, you are worthy of death. Now, how about positive examples of obedience? Those are all the bad, gnarly ones. Well, how about just Jesus? And we'll just use one example here. You know, there's a great story in Luke 2:41 where Jesus goes with his parents to Jerusalem for the Passover, and then they do the Passover, and then the family leaves. And the family's traveling with a bunch of other families and kind of like a big caravan kind of thing. And it's this deal here where Jesus was supposed to be in the caravan, but he wasn't. And after a day of traveling, his parents, you know, finally hook up and realize that Jesus isn't there with them. Probably, you know, Joseph thought he was with Mary. Mary thought he was with Joseph. Or they thought he was with some other family members because they all went in this big group. And in any case, they realize Jesus isn't there. And so they stop and they turn around and they go back. And it takes them another day to get back to Jerusalem. And then they have another day of looking for him. And finally, they find him. And then it says that he was sitting in the midst of the teachers in the temple there, both listening to them and asking him questions. And then, later on, the mother, Mary, says, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." And Jesus says, "Well, why is it that you are looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand the statement which he had made to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and continued, he continued in subjection to them. So Jesus wasn't doing anything sinful here. It was the type of thing where, like I said, Mary and Joseph just kind of didn't have him to begin with and lost track. And then, but it's interesting that it says afterwards that he continued in subjection to them, meaning Jesus was obedient to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Now, what do we know about Jesus in regards to sin? Any kid want to tell me? What do we know about Jesus in regards to sin? Did Jesus sin? No. Yep. What were you going to say there, Bradley? No, exactly. He didn't. The Bible teaches us that he was perfect, absolutely holy, righteous, pure, no sin. So we know that he didn't sin in this instance. But yet he still put himself in subjection to his parents. This one who was the Son of God put himself in subjection. He obeyed his parents perfectly. Now we also see that God gives reasons for obedience. He gives reasons in Ephesians 6:1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." In other words, when you obey your parents, kids, it's the right thing to do. Meaning anytime that you are disobeying, you are doing the wrong thing and you are sinning. Now, why is it right, we might say? Well, one reason is it's the same that we've been telling your folks about. It creates a proper order in the home and also in society. Whereas dad gets to be the leader, mom follows his lead, kids follow mom and dad. But you might think, well, who does my dad have to follow? Well, he's got to follow God and his word. How many of you have played sports, kids? Yeah, a few of you. Okay. So when you're playing sports, right, you don't just get to do whatever you want, right? You have to be obedient to somebody. Who do you obey in sports? A coach. That's right. It's the same deal here. God wants you to have blessed lives, kids. He wants you to have great lives. But first and foremost, he wants you to have a blessed life by knowing Jesus, which means that you've repented of your sins, you confessed your sins to him, and trusted Jesus that he is the one that can forgive your sins, and he is the one that can give you eternal life. And then certainly he wants what's best for you during the course of your life. And he's decided that the way that this should happen is when the whole family is obeying him. And so your obedience to your parents is for your own good, even if you don't think so. You know, think about it. Why does your mom and dad teach you to look both ways before you cross the street? Because if you don't, yeah, Audrey, you'll get smushed by a car. So they want what's best for you. And God wants what's best for you. And that's why he tells us you have to obey. Now also, it's well-pleasing to the Lord, right? It pleases God when we obey. God loves it when you're obedient. Let me ask you this. Are your parents displeased when you obey them? Are they unhappy when you obey them? Not usually. No, it usually pleases them, right? They're displeased when you think that you know better than they and you refuse to listen to them. And this is the same with God. He will always love you even while you are a sinner. But we can grieve his Holy Spirit with our disobedience. And when we do this, we're in sin. We're in sin. Now, what do you need to do when you're in sin? young people, what do you need to do?
Riley.
When you're in sin, you don't forgive, right? You have to repent. Good. You confess your sin, maybe to your parents or whoever you've sinned against, and you confess your sin to God, which means literally to agree with God, to agree that you're doing something wrong. And then we need to repent, which is to literally turn away from our sin and follow after God. That's right. Well, our second command, and we'll go through this one quicker than the first, honor your father and mother. It's from the Ten Commandments, right? Exodus 20 and verse 12, but we also see it in Deuteronomy 5:16. And we could say, well, what does it mean to honor your father and mother? Well, I'm just going to whip through some of these. It means to respect them, to revere them. It means to listen to them. It means that you need to honor them with your words, and the things that you say to them should bring glory to God. They shouldn't be mean, nasty words. They shouldn't be words that don't show respect. Also, your actions, the things that you do around the house or the things that you do towards your parents should be honoring to them and respectful of them. How do you speak to others, like your friends, about your parents? What do you say to your friends about your parents? Do you give them honor? And we said actions. Another aspect of honoring your father and mother and obedience in your actions, we might call it taking the initiative. Kids, this has to do with even identifying the right thing to do and then doing it without your parents having to tell you. So you know all these different things that you normally need to do around the house or whatnot. How about stopping and thinking to yourself before you've been asked, okay, I know what mom and dad want and what they expect, and so I'm just going to do it without them even asking me. That's taking initiative. And there's, of course, consequences for not honoring your parents. Cursed is he who dishonors his father and mother, and all the people shall say amen. There's curses involved for those who dishonor mom and dad. And then there's two promises to honoring your father and mother, that you may live long on the earth and that things will go well with you. Lord God has commanded so that your days may be prolonged and it may go well with you on the land which the Lord your God gives you. In other words, God is equating long life and things going well for you with obedience to your parents. And when you think about it, that's amazing. Anyone here, youth-wise, like to live a long life? Would you maybe like to have things go well for you in your life? Absolutely. We would say we all want that. Well, see, obedience does something. It fosters self-discipline. It helps you to be self-disciplined, which in turn will bring stability in your life. It will help to bring longevity in one's life so that you can live long and prosper. Wait, isn't that Spock? Didn't you say that? out of my mouth, I'm like, wait a minute, where have I heard that before? Star Trek, whatever. As we wrap this up, really, kids, what's the whole point of obeying? What is the whole point of obeying? The big picture of obeying, we should obey because why? Why? What's that? God commands us to? Yep. What's Morgan? He commands? Yep. Any other reasons? Brady? Yeah, he does. He wants us to have a good life and to be happy. Yep. Bradley? It pleases him. These are all good and right answers. There's one even bigger overarching one. That's okay. And that is this. We always, as kids, youth, adults, whatever, want to bring glory to God. We want to glorify God because God has created you. He's given you life. He loves you. He's given you salvation in Jesus Christ. And our lives are all about then glorifying and worshiping God. And we can do this when we obey, in our obedience. And that really is the kind of big, giant point. Do you want to bring glory to God? Do you want to know God? Do you want to obey God? Well, certainly first you need to know Jesus. You need to repent of your sins and trust Him to be your Savior and Lord. And then the second thing here that you need to be doing so that you can grow close with God and know everything that He wants you to know, you need to read your Bibles. You need to pray. You need to come to church. You need to serve other people. All of these kinds of things will help you in your walk with the Lord and will help you in your desire to obey Him. So, What do I want you to leave here with today, young people? You have learned that you need to obey. You need to obey your parents right away, all the way, and with a joyful heart. And remember, gang, that this is right and this is pleasing to God. And God always knows when you're obeying or not. He sees everything. He knows what is in your heart. So even if you're having dishonoring thoughts about your mom or dad, or you're thinking to yourself, I really don't want to obey, God knows that too. You're to honor your mom and dad, and you will be blessed for your honoring and obedience towards them, and you can look forward to a long life and for things to go well for you. Think about it. Do things go well for you when you disobey? Not usually, huh? But they will go well when you obey. Kids, take the initiative too with your obedience. Write down all the ways that you can think of to be obedient to your parents, and then start doing these things without even being asked. Be a blessing to your parents and bring glory to God. And when you know that you're sinning and you're not being obedient, then you need to confess your sin to your parents or whoever you've been disobedient to, maybe even a teacher. And then you need to confess and repent to God. Tell God that you've sinned and you're sorry and that you want to repent. You want to turn away from that sin. And I don't want to disobey God. Help me to obey. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the morning. Thank you for your word, Father, that even speaks to young people, kids, children. Thank you, God, for what we've learned about obedience. I pray for these youngsters and youth that, Father, they first and foremost would love your Son, Jesus Christ, that they would want to turn from their sin and believe in Him and follow Him, Lord, and then that they would be obedient to their moms and dads, that, God, they would desire to be obedient right away, all the way, and with a joyful heart, that they would honor their father and mother, God. Help them to do this and rely on those wonderful promises that you give us for our obedience. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.